The apology of Councillor Andrew Noone for the rest of the day.
Is it up to raise some money for the buses, Mr. Chair, is he?
No, I don't think so. It's a bit more social than that.
He is a bus driver.
So we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the executive report. It's largely about rates and rates collection penalties. Direct debit progress and the likes. Are there any questions on that?
Happy to move the recommendations, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Seconded by Councillor Kempton. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. On to the next paper, Bus Hub Exchange, Community Engagement Update. This paper is basically a summary of the community engagement that was undertaken at the end of last year with the community through a number of different media, through a number of different forms. Are there any questions on it? I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Obviously, these, the consultation, anything that's come out of that is going to be referred to the consultant and staff, and if they see fit to make any changes, council will duly be notified. Any comment? Dr. Scott?
My comment would be, well, firstly, thank you for the report. Secondly, from memory, the scope of the report, you know, there were certain things that were excluded, I think, from memory, the location, the bus hub and a few other things. But nevertheless, it was getting some feedback on outstanding sort of parameters and Appendix 2. You know, I thought it was good to have the information there. There's some transparency and accountability. And from the risk list, there's a particular list, and at the top priority, I think people wanted go-kart sales, rubbish bins, shuttered walkways, Wi-Fi, clocks, heated waiting area, ATM. So there's sort of a process there of tick box accountability in terms of what we've allowed for. And good. Thank you.
It sounds that's gone really well, generally.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure. Is that true? Is it going well?
Yeah. Report says that somewhere, yeah. Generally. Any other comments? If you're happy, I'll move the recommendation from the Chair, seconded by Gretchen. Thank you. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Next report, 6 month reports. Yep. Funds report for the end of December, 6 month report. It's all outlined there. Once again, there's unders and overs, some timing differences. Is there any comment?
Can I just note 7, Mr. Donnelly? Depreciation and amortisation. Total depreciation charge of $938,000 exceeds the budgeted $57,000. Is that supposed to be $93,000? Page 29. Note 7. And then it goes on an explanation. A significant factor in the variance is additional $30,000 on the lease. It doesn't quite get you to 938.
No, it is. If you go back to the front page, page 27, the actual amount is 938,000. The budget is 881. So the variance is 57.
Sorry, I didn't take myself back there. All right. And those smaller numbers are the differences, right? Thank you.
Any other comment? Mr. Donnelly, do you have anything to note?
No.
No comment? Mr. Scott?
Yeah, just note one. Just a couple of things sort of jumped out. Environmental incident response. It was an under expenditure of $133,000. And there was difficulty in recruiting staff in Central Otago with contributors. And then there was another one that said something similar. The project was under expended, the regional plan water, hence the budget was under expended by $193,000, mainly due to the reorganisation of staff groupings that had resulted in fewer staff performing this work. So there was a bit of a staff thing. I mean, is that an issue, recruiting staff, is probably my question. And then the final one was the bulk rural water fund, where it was interesting, because we talk about these things, but the budget provided for applications of $122,000 to be paid on the 31st of December. However, there were no applications received and paid in the 6 month period. So the first question is this a long-term staff issue or just a bit of a blip. And the second one, the bulk rural water fund. I mean, should we stop? Is there no need for it? Are people aware that it's actually there?
Well, can I answer the second one first? Bulk rural water fund. We've got that as a reserve, is my understanding, and we're not rating for it. I've got two applications have come in since Christmas. One from an existing group and another from a new group, which is quite innovative, very innovative in fact. It's using wastewater on a public amenity, wastewater from the DCC. So it's there. You know, I think it's valuable to have. We've got the Strathtyre group are active again, that group of farmers, and we're in discussions with them and their advisors, and that's really healthy. And you know, different people involved. So I mean, there is activity out there for which that fund's objectives can be met by approaching it. Yeah.
Okay.
In terms of staffing,
I mean, is there anything we should be concerned about?
No. I think it's just a normal cycle of staffing. However, you know, I think more and more people are more discerning about where they want to live, and certainly, you know, Dunedin is an attractive place to find people too. But further out, other considerations are made, especially if those people have partners. Can they find work? And obviously, with school-aged children, you know, what's the school like? So they are considerations in those less central places.
Thank you.
Any further comment?
All good. Someone move the recommendation, please. Thank you, Councillor Robertson. Seconded by Councillor Hope. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. The next item is a notice of motion from Councillor Laws. It's just a wee thing to resolve here. The notice of motion was included in the agenda for today, but subsequent to that, Councillor Laws put in a slight change to the notice of motion after the agenda went out. So I'll move from the chair that we accept this alteration, the alteration for the recommendation. Could we have a second for that, please? Okay, thank you, Councillor Robertson. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Councillor Laws, we're in your hands to move your notice of motion.
As you'll be aware, I think about a week ago, perhaps a little longer, the Dunedin City Council did something quite extraordinary, and that was that they unanimously resolved to look at the concept of becoming a unitary authority. Extraordinary in the sense of two things, actually. The first is that extraordinary that it would be the Dunedin City Council who would be considering the idea of unitary authority. Extraordinary also in the criticism of the Otago Regional Council and the specific issues that they addressed in that. I hadn't been aware that there were those particular issues. And extraordinary also in the sense that the triennial agreement, I would have thought, would have been involved. Now, my understanding of triennial agreements is it's a sort of no surprises policy where a district council that is considering something that might affect another council gives them some advance warning beforehand. But I must admit, first I saw of it was like all of you in the Otago Daily Times. But nevertheless, it is clearly obvious, having had experience with the Local Government Commission, that we have a Local Government Commission that will most favourably treat any submission from the Dunedin City Council to review or look at governance structures in Otago. This is a Local Government Commission, as I said in my paper, that is extraordinarily activist and really dealing under a remit from central government. Central government has always believed that local government's inefficient, and central government's always believed that that inefficiency remains today, and certainly likes the idea of unitary authorities, or rather the amalgamation of, if not district councils and territorial authorities and regional councils, certainly some ambit for the provision of shared services and the like. And the local government's been very much driving that. In the last 3 or 4 years, the Local Government Commission has indeed, at almost the merest suggestion that people might be interested in looking at governance arrangements, Westland's a good example, two people wrote to them, they went, oh, what a great idea, we'll get involved, and have come up with a draft structure for Westland that looks at a unitary council for all of the West Coast. So that's the Western Regional Council, Buller Grey, and there's another one there too, three of them. They'll amalgamate them into one council. They've proposed, had proposed exactly the same for Northland and indeed for Hawke's Bay. In almost none of those cases, yes, was there an approach to the Local Government Commission from a territorial authority. They were from either lobby groups or individuals or elected members. If Mr. Van der Vis, who moved this particular motion, for example, at the council, and his seconder, were simply to write to the Local Government Commission, they'd probably get exactly what they want without having to go through the Dunedin City Council on the basis of the activist agenda of the Local Government Commission. Local government in New Zealand since 1989 has really undergone no significant review despite a large amount of political posturing and a large number of local government ministers. The biggest change, of course, was the unification of Auckland City. And again, it's interesting that that ended up, Auckland City, population of $1.3 million, into essentially a unitary council. But not since 1992, when Doug Kidd and Nick Smith, local national members, successfully lobbied the government of the day, I was in that caucus actually, for the Marlborough-Nelson Regional Council to be disbanded, have unitary authorities being created. But there is now obviously an appetite and a hunger for that, certainly at a central government level, and particularly from the Local Government Commission. I'm being critical, as you know, and of the Otago Regional Council adopting a wait-and-see attitude on so many things. I don't want us to be a wait-and-see body. I think most of the problems that we've got in terms of the environment or our policy issues are about wait-and-see. We need to be much more proactive and creative, much more community-centred and much more energetic in the way in which we approach governance and policy making in general, in my view. And certainly there it's clearly obvious that if we wait and see what comes out of the Dunedin City Council remit, we will again be sitting behind the eight ball and very much at the behest of whatever comes out of the Dunedin City Council and their motion, and that the Local Government Commission will pretty much set the agenda if they get a response from the DCC. I want us to take the lead. We haven't reviewed in any strong sense at all governance arrangements since 1989. And Otago has changed an awful lot since the formation of local government in 1989. Not just in terms of population and where those population, that population is sited, but the whole culture of the province has changed as well. And indeed, you might argue now that there are strong and at times conflicting communities of interest that are part of the Otago region. There is, for example, a significant difference in the culture between Dunedin City, for example, and Queenstown, Lakes and Wanaka. There is a big geographic and maybe even cultural difference between Clutha and Waitaki, even two territorial authorities right beside each other. Central Otago and Queenstown Lakes share quite different aspects about how they look at the world and how they respond to it and what the cultures of the people and the outlooks and the energies of the people are. What I am suggesting is that we take the lead. Let's not wait for others to determine our fate or the fate of the 220,000 people that are resident in our region. Let us find the most appropriate governance structures that we can for the people that are living in our region in general, for both the regional council and for the four territorial authorities that are here. sorry, five. So for that reason, this paper has been promoted to you as an option of getting involved in that conversation. Also, it would also allow us to engage in, I think, a mature, responsible manner with our territorial authorities, with not just Dunedin. For example, were Dunedin to consider a unitary authority, the effects upon Central Otago, Queenstown, Clutha and Waitaki could be potentially catastrophic or potentially extraordinarily exciting and engaging for them. But we certainly need to know if there's a problem. We've faced criticism over the last few months from the Queenstown Lakes District Council for not doing enough in certain things, so the Mayor's comments, which I think are probably representative. We're certainly facing criticism from the Dunedin City Council, the way in which we operate as well. But is there a more effective and efficient governance structure for the whole of the Otago region? I want to know. Our responsibility is to ably and properly represent the entire region and to meet the challenges of 2017 and beyond. It's been, as I said, 28 years since this regional governance structure was put in place. And all this asks to do is start a conversation. But most importantly, to initiate that conversation, to initiate and control it. I am very fearful of the fact that we will end up in a wait-and-see position with a local government commission calling the shots. And I don't want non-Otago people determining the fate of Otago institutions. I think that that is our responsibility. It's long overdue. It's almost 30 years since the process was put in place. There are some worthwhile discussions that I'm sure will arise from that. Maybe better ways in which we can communicate, better ways in which we can govern, more effective and efficient structures that we can put in place. But let us start that conversation. Let us finally assume a form of regional leadership. Don't let us be beholden to those who would seek to control our fate from outside this building and from outside this region. For that reason, Mr. Chairman, I move the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Lords. Councillor Lawton, you're a seconder.
Yeah, I would like to just speak to that. I was one of the staff at Manukau City Council that got involved in the unitary authority that has become the Auckland Council. So I'm very aware of the type of, or the repercussions of having a lot of staff put in positions of uncertainty and the cost, emotional and financial, that some sort of restructuring will have. So I don't sort of support this lightly. I've thought about it quite a bit. But one of the things that concerns me, and that's come through, I think, in the last few months in Otago, is in terms of the way that the Regional Management Resource Management Act is being applied, there seem to be gaps, and some of those gaps are between the regional authority and the district or city authorities. And I think water and fresh water in particular, and water quality, is a classic issue where if you talk to Queenstown Lakes District Council, they just go, well, fresh water quality, that's ORC's thing. You know, we're not going to be involved in that. And yet there's somewhere in the middle of the whole management of fresh water, things are falling through the gaps. And I think we just can't afford to continue to let that happen. So maybe there's a better way. I don't know what it is. There's a whole plethora of options as you start to look at different alternative structures, because we've got such a diversity in terms of our population, our geographic spread, and all those sort of things, and also the, you know, what the aspirations of the various communities within Otago are. But definitely I would go along with the idea that we need to take some control over that situation and really be proactive and look at the various options. And it may be that one stands out but for one reason, but it's not plausible for another. So a proper analysis of what some of those options are, and obviously doing that in conjunction with the other councils who would be involved. So that's why I support this. It's an analysis and research, which I think is a good basis on which to have further conversations.
Thank you for that. I'll open the discussion up to the meeting. Councillor Scott.
Thank you for the submission and so forth. Look, a review of the governance structure or a pitch for a unitary authority, in my view, makes no sense at this particular time. Look, it's just quite simply an unnecessary distraction, in my view. Yes, there have been issues around the Harbourside and Queenstown, but to a certain degree, you know, there's work and there's focus in those areas. Yes, the ORC and the territorial authorities need to raise their game in relation to those particular matters, and that's happening. But the intent of, you know, the clear intent of this proposal, a resolution I disagree with. An independent regional council plays a critical role in achieving environmental accountability in Otago. Look, when I first got onto council, the big issue of the day was Tahuna. The DCC, Councillor Noon's away at the moment, but the DCC wanted to put an outfall straight out into the sea. They couldn't understand why. It made financial prudence sense. And it was actually the regional council that stood up and said, hey, we've got to take a longer, more strategic view. We need tertiary treatment. You know, there's been feedback from the DCC, hey, two councils agree on some key issues. Well, I'm sorry, actually, having a positive tension between the TA and the ORC is actually a good thing, not a bad thing. We have different responsibilities. One, in terms of our environmental governance, and the TAs in terms of their services that they provide. The ORC region is built around, as we know, key water catchments, the Clutha, the Pomahaka, the Tauri and the Waitaki. It's there for a reason. We be careful if we want to meddle with that. I spent some time thinking about, you know, the balance between the regional council and the other TAs. If you look at staff numbers, for example, the total number of staff employed by the local bodies in Otago is 1,319. And the ORC has approximately 136. The ORC has 10% of the staff of its local bodies in Otago. To me, you know, we're here, we're not trying to duplicate other people's responsibilities, we're trying to complement them. To me, it's actually a good balance. Historically, in the 1960s, believe it or not, there were 757 local bodies, and now there's something like 78. So, you know, in that time period, we're down to 10% of what it was. Is it enough? Well, okay, maybe, you know, as Councillor Law said, maybe there's some further work that needs to be done. But one of the unique features about Otago, I mean, it's the third largest local government region, so you've got to take into account the region's size, the representation, the communities of interest, and so forth. Councillor Laws refers to, you know, amalgamation proposals. Well, yeah, you know, we've sat down here looking at interest in terms of what's been going on. Wellington, Northland, Hawke's Bay, they all fell flat on their face, basically. And out of that, basically, the agreed focus was on increased cooperation, collaboration and efficiencies. And recently, last year, we saw the Local Government Act 2002 amendment bill. So this is the path that, you know, nationally we're going on without, you know, the ORC triggering or initiating an issue that, in my mind, is just, you know, it's just a distraction at this point. The ORC's track record, actually, over time, and if you read the ODT editorial and compare their performance with others, you know, take, for example, the port and so forth, is actually very good. And, you know, I mean, let's be real, there's been criticism over a period of time. You know, there's been statements made, the ORC is useless. Well, the ORC is not useless. It's actually got a good track record. We should be proud of what's going on here. Do we always need to strive to do things better? Of course we do. Recently, civil defence. You know, there's been issues with civil defence, but out of those issues, you know, there's been restructuring from separate services to an integrated regional approach based on, as I said, cooperation, collaboration and efficiencies. This is the future. You know, what's going on at the moment? Are we all sitting around here thinking we need to spend time, you know, restructuring ourselves? our focus is quite simply like water quality. We've got the 2020 water quality issues and targets. 2025, we've got water quantity. 2021, we've got biodiversity, we've got pests. We've got all these milestones coming up that are, you know, it's critical that the OSC is retained fit for purpose and not distracted from this work. You know, in conclusion, I believe in a fit for purpose regional council in Otago.
Thank you, Councillor Scott. Councillor Bell.
In fairness, I haven't heard anybody from my area in Central Otago ask about wanting to form a unitary authority, and indeed probably from any other council areas at all. I was actually in the company of a mayor on Friday night, and he never said, well, I want to speak to you later on about it, and or anything like that. So I'm not sure, to be honest, really, I've only really heard Councillor Laws and the Dunedin City making some noise, if that's the right word, or publicity about it. What I've always been concerned about, I guess, is the Clutha River and other major big rivers. You've got the Clutha River running from the hinterland right out to the coast, and I can't help but think that that needs to be acted upon in a whole total regional. It's going through three different local authority areas, and I just wonder how that process would be managed. I also believe that through my involvement through the Otago Regional Land Transport, we're seeing a lot more collaboration with our neighbours, and especially with the Environment Southland, and in fact Environment Canterbury to a degree also. And I'm sure that this will continue and probably expand on what we're already doing in the way of regional transport matters. And so I think that collaboration, it, to me, is probably the way to go forward in trying to get the right results for our communities. I may be completely wrong, but that's how I see it at the moment. And I certainly wouldn't like, I believe that the ORC is probably the only body at the moment that would be geared up to handle the significant water issues, especially the deemed permits through to 2021. So that's where I come from.
Councillor Deacon.
At lunchtime, Councillor Laws and I were having a animated but very good discussion about President Donald Trump. And I reflected since I sat down here again that it's only 2 or 3 months ago that we were all having little nightmares about how President Trump would turn out if he got into the White House. Turned out to be worse, of course. But now we have the prospect of the future of local government in Otago being in the hands of Councillor Vandevis and Councillor Laws. And I'm not sure which is the worst nightmare. However, I do thank Councillor Laws for the thought and the time and the thoroughness that he's put into this discussion paper today. I don't agree with all of it. I'm not sure that all of it's factually true. But I do think this motion that he and Councillor Lawton have put to us is a positive challenge. I believe in regional councils. I agree with much of what Councillor Scott said and with what you said, Councillor Bell. I would like to see Otago continue to have an authority which has the peculiar and broad focus that we have on matters of resource management and matters environmental and all the other things we do, because it's important and I think we do it really well. Councillor Laws has called us useless. He made it clear in a television interview in Queenstown that we had done nothing for Queenstown. So at least we know exactly where he stands, and we know the provenance of the paper he's given us. But I still think the paper is worth respect. And in the days I've been thinking about it, I think we need to take it very seriously. What I worry about in the motion that he's proposed and seconded by Councillor Lawton is that it leaves the issue of trying to work out the effective and efficient governance structure for Otago Region in the hands of those who currently are responsible for those things. And I think we all know, even though it might be deep inside, that there's nobody better at smugness and there's nobody better at patch protection than people like us. What you'll pick up from what I've said so far, I hope, is that I think the status quo should be held up for inspection. I've always believed all my life that you don't stick with the status quo unless it's demonstrably better than alternatives. I've always believed in trying to be constantly better. So I think that the idea of bringing the Otago region together, all its component parts, and saying deliberately and tightly focused, how can we be more efficient? How can we be more effective? How can we do a better job for our region in ways that don't necessarily look the way they are right now? I think that's a good thing to do. But I would hope that Councillor Laws and Councillor Lawton would add just a few words to their motion. And I'm suggesting that those words go in after the word determining in line 3. And the words would be, with guidance from an independent review group. With guidance from an independent review group. I'm tempted, of course, to add the notion of a merger between Otago and Southland Regions, because I've gone on about that for years, and I still feel very strongly that that should happen. It is one region with an arbitrary line used for weather forecasts and rugby teams dividing the two. Anyway, that's an aside. I'm not going to clutter it up with that notion. But wouldn't it be great if in this process of looking at effective and efficient governance structures that came into play? I hope that it might. So, Mr. Chairman, I've gone on too long, but I want to support this motion, and I do.
Thank you, Councillor Diggie. Councillor Robertson.
I guess when I look at a problem, I always like to look at what are the issues before I leap to what are the solutions. And in this instance, the motion is put into us that we expressly determine the most efficient and effective governance structure for Otago. And my brain, I'm sorry, doesn't work like that. My brain asks, why are we jumping to what is the structure when we don't know what the issues are? If we had a discussion with our territorial authorities, are there some issues? Could we be more efficient? Could we be more effective? What are these issues? Then perhaps that would be the way to do it. But to leap to what is the structure, that I can't support that. And when I think about, do we do that? Yes, we do. I think we've got a strategy and to develop as a new council. But looking back on the previous council, we did a massive interaction with our communities and our territorial authorities over the development of the RPS, which sets a direction for the region. We started that as a true partnership with our territories, looking at issues, looking at visioning for how we want our region to look. Everybody was involved, and then it gives tasks to us. That's our chance to say who effectively inefficiently should be doing these roles. We talked together about that. We had input from the community as well. There are many joint strategies with our territories, there are many shared projects, and there is collaboration. And there's a number of other examples. I think Councillor Scott touched on some where we've been improving that prior to the RPS as well. I know, I totally respect what Councillor Laws had said to us about being on the front foot. Oh, it hates to think we were sitting back here and letting somebody else do something to us. We're not a useless organisation. We are on the front foot. We are well organised, and we do need to bend our minds towards doing the best job that we can for our region. Let's be on the front foot, but let's not jump straight to how should we restructure ourselves. Let's think about how we can more effectively, if we need to, engage with our territories and with our community. I believe we've been doing a good job in that area. However, we always need to bend our minds to how could we be doing a better job. I know Councillor Laws wants, his heart's in the right place. He wants to reduce bureaucracy and he wants to ensure that we're effective and efficient. I believe that the review in this process would increase a level of bureaucracy. This would go on and on for years. It would cost a lot. And it would take our focus away, as Councillor Scott, from some very, very important projects that we need to be getting on as a region. So I feel I've said enough on that matter. That's how I feel.
Thank you. Any further comment? Councillor Kempton.
Thank you. I've heard some compelling arguments this afternoon, and I've listened intently to all the other speakers. First point that I'd like to make relates to what the fact that there are two things here that I think are quite separate. There's some stuff going on at the DCC and there's Councillor Law's proposal, and I actually think they are quite separate. And I think it's quite a long bow to draw to think that because there's something going on at the DCC, that means that there is an issue that the whole region should be interested in, and that we should take a particular interest in leading. And so we shouldn't necessarily be spooked by that or see that as any kind of indicator. I think anybody who knows a little with respect to the DCC knows that the politics around this kind of issue are quite complex there. Right? And what's being talked about at the moment might not be what's best for the region. I don't think they're thinking in those terms. And I suspect that there's a bit of a view that if DCC controlled the functions of ORC, then life would be easier for them. That is, there'd be a few less flies in the ointment. Right? And that goes back to the independence argument that was put by Councillor Scott. What they're doing is just getting somebody who potentially has an independent view to have a look at the relationship between the DCC and the ORC and see if in fact there's any mileage in any kind of process that might result in a unitary council. They are not talking at the moment to the Local Government Commission. As far as I'm concerned, it's in train. I'll certainly be interested. I'll view the results with interest, and I think we leave it where it sits. With respect to Councillor Law's proposal, I agree entirely with Councillor Robertson's view that there is an implication that what we currently have is ineffective and inefficient. I've actually heard some very strong cases being put on the opposite side of that line. I haven't heard a case from Councillor Laws with respect to obvious inefficiency and ineffectiveness. And I'd certainly dispute the assertion that there's widespread public and political disquiet. On the other hand, I'm really impressed with Councillor Laws' efforts in attempting to generate some. The LGC processes around this issue are highly accessible. In fact, when you think about it, they're probably some of the most highly accessible processes that exist, which allow individuals to bring the Local Government Commission's attention to the prospect of local government reorganisation. And so if there really was disquiet, then people would be getting in amongst that right now. and they're not. At a practical level, we're busy enough without this diversion, and I suggest we focus on the wide range of complex regional issues, the likes of which we were talking about before lunch, that we've got in front of us, and just simply get on with the job.
Thank you. Councillor Woodhead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to endeavour not to repeat too much, so because there's some good words being said. I firstly want to make it clear that I have an open mind to the efficient delivery of services for the community, Otago community. All right. So don't consider that just because I'm a councillor or chair that I'm being defensive of ORC. There's been, as has been articulated already, a number of proposals nationally, and they didn't get community support. They've generally, like this one in my view, been driven from a structure down rather than a community up perspective, and have all failed spectacularly. As a result, the government made some changes in 2015 to the Local Government Act and made collaboration and working together more easy, facilitated that. And part of that process is the Section 17A, which was added. And that section of the Local Government Act means that councils are bound to review Section 17A. I'm going to quote, I circulated the document to councillors last night by email. Section 17A of the Local Government Act requires all councils to undertake reviews of infrastructure, public services and regulatory functions either every 6 years or when triggered by specific events, and there's things like contract conclusions, etc. in there. The reviews must consider specific options without precluding other options. Council governance, funding and delivery by council, by a council CCO, delivery by jointly owned CCO, delivery transferred to another council, delivery contracted out, and a shared governance or funding delivery by a CCO, another council, or outsourced. So all bets are on, essentially. So every 6 years, all services by all councils must be reviewed and looking at for different ways, more efficient ways, better ways, whatever. And so Otago Mayoral Forum, under the careful watch of the chief executives, have run a review. There's specific timeframes in the Act within which these first reviews must be done. And the first reviews are at a high level, and then they identify some items that are able to be or needing to be investigated further, and they were listed on the pages there: high potential, solid waste, regulatory services, wastewaters and harbours. And so that's a process that a group of staff from all councils are still continuing with, and we had an update yesterday at the Otago Mayoral Forum. And there are also other topics on the agenda there. While not formal 17A reviews, two other functional transfers are intended to be assessed over the next 18 months. Public transport, ORC and QRDC and DCC involved there, and the funding and management of the Otago Museum. So I just wanted... The reason I circulated that and explaining it a little now, summarising it, is to ensure everybody understood that we are not sitting still as a regional governors, mayors, chair and chief executives. We are constantly looking at the way our service provision is provided and looking for opportunities to improve, lift the level of service or do it more efficiently, both economically and with respect to manpower. And there's been some changes as a result of those reviews. The rural fire, combining those around the region, was in place and underway before Section 17A came into place. Emergency Management Otago, which is the organisation we now have as a result of the amalgamation there, is a result of the 17A process, Mr. Bodeker. We've got regional transport working together in Otago and Southland, and actually when, and I think we've asked staff to do this in the past, but when you ask for the complete list around the region of what is being operated collaboratively, it's a significant list. Much of it goes on day to day that we do not we forget about. So and the other point I'd like to remind us of with respect to land use planning is that Otago has always worked to ensure there is no duplication. so that when someone applies for a consent to subdivide, for example, in many regions you have to apply to the district or city council and the regional council. In Otago, we have given the responsibility for those controls to the districts and city. If you are applying for a water take or a discharge to air, then yes, by law you have to apply for consent through the regional council. But we have endeavoured to work right since 1989, is my understanding, to ensure there is not duplication between the organisations. So Waitangi Day and yesterday we were together with the Otago and Southland mayors and chairs. We had a joint Otago-Southland mayoral forum for 2 hours yesterday morning first thing, and then a Otago mayoral forum later in the day, and we had a dinner together the night before. So there's been 2 days almost together constantly, and there's been lots of conversation around this topic. And we clarified it yesterday afternoon with the Otago mayoral forum. What I can say quite clearly is there is no appetite to engage in any regional review. And we actually put it to them. I put some draft words in the form of a recommendation that we work together as Otago. And the answer was a blunt no. There is no issue, no enthusiasm. These are direct quotes. There was other words followed on that. There was a clear indication for an ORC to get on with its water quantity management challenges. No, you don't have to be too smart to guess which mayor said that. And there was the geographic challenges for the region, a whole range of things, and it was just seen as a distraction. And not the slightest bit of enthusiasm. And if you want a second opinion, Mr. Vodek was in the room, ask him later. I think to support this recommendation, we're just breathing life into a non-issue that has potential to distract, as some of the councils already said, both ORC and the region. We are working, there are challenges, and at times tensions between the TLAs and the regional council. That occurs everywhere around New Zealand. We have a regulatory role, but actually we are working very, very well together. And the mayoral forum the last couple of days was one of the best I've ever been to, with two new mayors coming together. It's got real potential. I think we need to just be clear and remind ourselves actually what the DCC recommendation said. And I have it in front of me. The staff prepare a report for council outlining at a high level the advantages and disadvantages of becoming a unitary authority and the process to progress this, if so agreed. So it's a high level report. Let's not get ourselves into a lather. I'm sure that the indications are it'll be around the end of March. And let's wait and see and what that says and go from there. There are some issues that were identified in the conversation, in the discussion at DCC. Coastal structures, harbour management or harbour issues, dredging, etc., wharves, those sorts of things, coastal erosion. There were other examples given, such as us being pests and challenging or appealing consent decisions around land use, you know, the South Dunedin ones, the recent one, Karatani, etc. But actually, they're just us doing our job. Let's be frank. Is it time, we had an attempt a few years ago and it didn't get off the ground, is it time for a sit down with a conversation, develop a harbour plan, clarify ownership of assets and responsibilities? Is it time to sit down and do that? Absolutely. Overdue. It's been loitering around since 1989 actually, and we need to clarify the purpose statement in the Port Company Act, and ORC perhaps should be doing more in the social aspects around the port. It's not the port company's job, they have a mandate to make a profit. End of story. So those issues though are not the basis for a structural discussion. They are normal business, normal relationship management stuff, and we just should get on and do it. The focus of these discussions, unfortunately, and that's the basis for the failure, in my view, elsewhere in the country, always goes to structure first. Let's have a discussion, and it's occurring through the 17A process, around what is the best model to deliver efficient services. And eventually, it might be 5, 10, or even 15 years down the track, in the case of perhaps a joint Otago South and Regional Council, the structure will become obvious. But to go to structure first is damaging, divisive, and enormously distracting. We cannot afford one day's distraction at ORC with the issues that we've been debating in the committees this morning. I can't support this motion, and I'll conclude by saying I have never heard in the 13 or 14 years I've been a regional councillor one murmur from the community about this sort of change in Otago. It's never turned up at our annual plan, and I've never heard it from our wider community. Do they want to give us a kick in the pants or ask to spend a bit more money at times? Yeah. But actually, I've gone on too long, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for that. Anyone else? First time up? Just from me, I'll be very brief. I agree with those that are opposing this notice of motion. I've been around here a long time too, and I think whilst it's important we as councillors, people in local government have views because obviously they understand this business, I think it's important that something like this should come out of the community, and I have seen very, very little evidence of that. Indeed, I've been on this council for the longest of anyone, and I can never ever remember it being mentioned in an annual plan process. So to my way of thinking, there's very little mandate from the community for structural change. The other thing which is important for me is that there needs to be cohesion in the management of our natural resources in Otago. And by splitting it up, say, into all five unitary authorities, I reckon that would be a disaster. Imagine Fish and Game, DOC, Iwi, trying to deal with a whole heap of unitary authorities. It would be a nightmare, I reckon. So that's all I want to say. I'm strongly against the notice of motion. Councillor Lawton.
Yes, through the Chair, I'd just really like to come back to a comment that Councillor Robertson made in relation to the RPS, and it's good to hear that those discussions were going on. I'm just wondering, and it's just a simple question, it was a sort of reciprocal involvement with the development of the proposed district plan for QLDC, and I guess I'm just making the point that over in the Dunstan world, we're seeing so much growth. So a lot of our concern comes around urban development and those impacts on water, on biodiversity, on pest management. So it's not sort of like a single issue. It's how all those environmental issues actually relate to the growth that's happening in our area at the moment.
If this is a question for me, it's probably better directed to Mr. McRae and how much involvement staff have had through district planning, and I know other directors as well have been very strongly involved in district planning, but hear what you're saying. In the Queenstown area, growth is a big issue. That's why I guess why I was saying before that we don't want to steer away from what are the issues and keep our mind focused on issues, and we don't know all the answers, and we need to hear from our districts, and we need stronger relationships, and like hearing what Councillor Woodhead's saying about this triennium and how that's shaping up. We need to put our minds towards that, but focus on issues rather than structures. But yeah, I don't know if we want a discussion on how involved we've been on district plans.
I think we'll just leave that at this stage. I think it's whilst it is an issue, it's...
Yeah.
Councillor Lawes, you'll write a reply.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, I understand the overwhelming view is that we should wait and see, but the genie I am warning you is out of the bottle, and this issue won't go away. And Stephen, you'll hear a lot about unitary authorities in the years to come. Can I say that they have worked effectively and well, Doug? Extraordinarily effectively and brilliantly in Marlborough, Tasman, Nelson, Gisborne, and now they work in Auckland City of 1.3 million. No, I wouldn't wave your hands around, Stephen. They work, and they work well. That is the view of the audit department, and certainly of the locals there who have direct control. But the genie's out of the bottle, and that's fine. If you don't want to acknowledge that, I accept that. Can I say to Michael Deaker, I would have been very happy with an independent review associated with this as well. I think that we aren't prepared after almost 30 years to look at the appropriate governance structure for our government as a failure of will. But I do believe the local commission will be back here in a year or two and we will be forced to consider it and not on our own terms. And I think it's a shame that we're not going to lead that discussion. I'd also like the public of Otago to have a say. And that was one of the things out of this particular remit, is that the public of Otago can have a say on the most effective system. Stephen, there is no love for territorial authorities in New Zealand. They are seen as a tier of management of local government that wasn't really necessary in 1989. And we have three tiers of government for just 4 million people, central, regional and local. And I think most New Zealanders would agree that's one tier too many. But nevertheless, we're not going to have that discussion now. And I think that's a shame. Let's find the most appropriate government structure. Let's consult with the communities that we serve and let that public input be something that drives us henceforth. This issue won't go away. And we now are in the hands of the Dunedin City Council as to what they decide. But I really do hope that we have the chance and the opportunity in the future to relook at this issue. We may be forced to by outsiders, but we should never be scared of seeing if we've got the best structures and the best institution to do the job that we are mandated to do. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Rawls. I assume everyone's clear what the notice of motion says. Everyone's clear, don't need to read again. Oh, well, if that's the case, I'll put it. All those in favour of the notice of motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Against?
No.
The motion is lost. I think that's it for Finance and Corp. So I declare this meeting closed at 3:10. Thank you.